Well, good evening and thank you for staying tuned to Good News Community Radio on 93.6 FM. This is the station that endeavours to bring you the good news of Jesus Christ 24/7. And we've got some good news this evening as it is 1800 hours, which means it's time for your program, Heartlines. And I'm joined by Craig Bushier, Heartlines champion here in KwaZulu-Natal. We're going to be discussing some of the details around the exciting new Fathers Matter film series that is going to be premiered from tomorrow at 8:30 on SABC 2. And Craig is going to inform us a little bit more about that. But we're also excited to have a conversation on Fathers Matter and why they matter. So, Craig, thank you for joining me in the studio.
Good evening, Larice. It is so good to be with you this evening and with our listeners.
So, Craig, before we jump into the details about the Fathers Matter film launch, could you just share with me what was the most important lesson that your father actually passed down to you?
Wow, that is an interesting question because there's so many lessons, but the one I think that just pops straight out is faithfulness. My father exemplified what it was to be faithful, faithful in his faith, faithful to his commitments to people, and it's something that got passed to myself and my three brothers that for all our lives, we've all stayed faithful to God throughout our life's journey. And when I think of my dad, that is one of the things that really stands out.
Craig, in your situation, coming from a household where you had a healthy relationship with your father, what were some of the things that you and your dad did to connect?
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, at my dad, when I was still, you know, in primary school, early primary school, my dad was a tiler. You know, he did wall, floor tiles. That was his, he had done an apprenticeship in that and he was an excellent tiler. And what he would do, if he was ever working on a Saturday, he would then take me to work with him, or if we were on school holidays, he would take me along with him to work. And he, in that time, it meant we were spending time together, but he was also able to accomplish his purpose for the day. But at the same time, he passed on those skills to me as a little boy. And so even today, I still remember many of the things he taught me. And so wherever I go, and if there's tiling there, my eyes always goes to it and determine whether this was done by a excellent tiler or somebody who might have been taking a chance or just trying. And so that time for me was really special because it generally came with a pie and a Coke. When you made those trips, you knew there was going to be a pie and a Coke on the other side. So I'm not sure if I was going for the time with him or the pie and the Coke, but maybe a bit of both.
It's beautiful how fathers have that ability to practically build into their children's lives, even passing down skills or, in your case, an eye for excellence when it comes to tiling. But fathers also have a huge impact on our emotional, our spiritual, even our mental well-being. So how do you think your father impacted your understanding of your own identity?
Yeah, I think with my dad was a very humble man, very simple in life, and he never tried to impress anyone, never tried to impress with his skills, his knowledge. He was just himself. And when I think back, to find security in who God created you to be, I saw that in my dad. And at times I, as a youngster growing up, I would think to myself, but you know, why isn't my dad like one of my friend's dads who, you know, always dressed up and drove fancy cars and always was out to impress. But as a youngster, you're not recognizing at that point the value of your dad as opposed to your friend's dad. But as I got older and became a dad myself, more and more I realized that what I was seeing in my dad was what I believe God wanted us to see the person that was created in the image of God, being secure in his identity in God, which in turn helped me find my security in my identity in God, but also in my identity as the son of my father.
Craig, coming from your background with your father imparting these skills to you and also this biblical understanding of your identity and also confidence coming from knowing that you are his son, how did you view the task of fatherhood when you got married?
Oh, well, Larisse, if I could be honest, the first thing was excitement with trepidation. Because I always somehow had the thought that being a parent is probably the toughest job in the world. Because, you know, if you're a president, you'll get voted in. And the same people who vote you in generally will get you voted out. But as a parent, once you're a parent, you're there for life.
Yeah.
There's no exit plan. If you choose to exit, then you're moving out of God's plan and purposes for your life. And so one of the things I did, as wonderful as my dad was, and yes, he wasn't a perfect father, there's only one perfect father, is one of the things I did when my wife was still pregnant, I went to the Christian bookstore and I bought a book on parenting. And I said, you know what, I need to upskill myself and hopefully I can try and improve on my dad as a parent, even though he was a great one. I said, you know, if I can accomplish that, my son is going to have an amazing father. And so I looked at it as a great responsibility in that it's possibly the greatest task that God could have assigned me to raise a son according to what the scriptures say. And so I took it very seriously. And I think even to this day, even though my son is 28 years old, I still take it very seriously because it's our opportunity to shape the next generation according to the way God wants us to do that.
So you think that God actually cares about how we raise our children?
100% correct. We know the scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go, that when he is old, he would not depart from it. And so, interestingly, that scripture was always in my mind. I always kept it very close to my heart from before my son was born. And in fact, before he was born, I can remember praying for him and praying that he would grow up to know God, to serve God, to follow in his footsteps, but also to pray and ask God to give me the wisdom to raise him right. Because I know if he's raised right, then when he has children, I'm praying that he would do the same and hopefully even improve on me as a dad.
So the task of fatherhood, you mentioned it was a bit daunting, but also exciting. How do you think a father is supposed to measure his success in fatherhood? It's kind of a difficult thing to gauge with children.
Yeah, that is a tough question. And I think what makes it tough is that sometimes fathers look at their children in terms of and how their children behave, whether they considered a success in life or not, as a badge of honor or dishonor amongst their friends and peers and family. And I don't believe it's the correct way to look at things because we don't know what God has deposited inside our children. We don't know what skills, abilities, and in some cases, disabilities our children may have. And therefore, we shouldn't look to find our identity in our children in that way by their success or failure. And so for me, and again, it comes back to prayers I prayed before my son was born and when he was a little boy. And I remember a prayer I prayed many, many times. And I said, Lord, whatever happens in my son's life, the most important thing, if nothing else happens, I want him to serve you all the days of his life. And so for me, if I've got to answer that question, that difficult question, I would look at it and say, well, okay, for me, the most important thing as a father, and for me, I would consider myself successful as a father, is if my son serves God all the days of his life, regardless of what he's achieved or not achieved. That's the way I see it for me. I'm not saying it's the same for everybody else, but that is the most important thing for me.
How big of a role did intentionality play in your relationship with your son? When it comes to fatherhood, you know, time slips through our fingers so quickly. And if you're not careful, you can just be surviving or even living past each other. So do you think that intentionality is a factor in successful fatherhood?
That is a very good question, Larice. And I would say 100% yes. In the first 2 years of my son's life, I was in a very busy corporate job, very stressful job, traveled extensively every week, and literally would be getting home on a Friday afternoon, and I might have been away the whole week, but my son was small and said, well, okay, my wife has got that covered. We had agreed that she would stay at home for the first 2 years of his life. And so I was trying to do everything right. But there was a day that came where I was just reflecting on where I was at and what was going on. And I realized that my son was now 18 months old and I actually didn't really know him because I wasn't really spending much time with him. And that was a wake-up call for me. And so I made some very big decisions in terms of my work, shifted things, changed things, did things that at that point I became extremely intentional, more than what I was just saying, but actually now doing in terms of how I was going to be involved in his life, how I would spend time with him, what would take place when he went to school, what would take place when he came into adolescence, what would take place when he finished school. And so in that journey, there were a few things that I did very intentionally. And I'll just share one example is when it came time for his 13th birthday, I realized we need to make this moment quite special in the sense that learning from the Jewish culture, when a child was coming to adolescence, they would have a bar mitzvah and they would welcome this boy into manhood and the men would teach him to become a man. And so I wanted that, but in my own way. And so on his birthday, we had the family together for supper. We had each of the family speak affirming words into his life. So myself, my wife, his uncles, aunts, his grandparents on his 13th birthday. And I wrote him a letter on his 13th birthday. And I said to him that this would be the first of three letters I would write to him. The next one would come on his 18th birthday. And in that, I wrote this letter and without going into the details, but really just spoke into the next 5 years of his life and gave guidance and where focus needs to be for him. And so that for me was an extremely intentional act. When he turned 18, I did the same. And so I believe there isn't one way of doing things. you know, I'd encourage fathers to find their way, but definitely be absolutely intentional about it.
Mm. Craig, what do you think has been the biggest challenge in your fatherhood journey so far?
Oh, there's been many challenges, but I think probably the biggest challenge was when my son became ill. My son was a very good student at school, and he was a very talented sportsman, and in fact had got a scholarship to play soccer at a Christian university in the US, a full scholarship to study there, play soccer. And at 20 years old, he gets ill, and then it took us a year to get a diagnosis for his illness. And so the greatest challenge has been the last 8 years with him being ill. He's been back in the country for the last 5 years. He cannot work. He's housebound unless it's going to the doctor or hospital. And on his birthday, we then encourage him for us to go out and have lunch somewhere. But just going out for him is extremely challenging and difficult. And so for me as a father, having a son that was to a degree an overachiever, he just achieved in everything he did, to now being a father to him as an adult son and being there for him, taking care of him, the fact that he can't go out and achieve, he can't do all these amazing things that he was doing when you felt so proud as a father, and people would always say, wow, what a fine job you've done as a father. Your son is so amazing. And so that is definitely the greatest challenge. And it's a daily challenge that we live with. And there's no end date until God decides if he heals him or if they find a cure for his illness.
Mm. Craig, you're touching on so many important aspects, especially in your story with your son and where you are right now in your journey as a father. Craig, how can you keep the balance between being an intentional father and being a father who's constantly surrendering his son to the Lord?
Yeah, you know, it's a very good question. And it's, I would put it, it's not a science there. So I think intentionality leans a little bit to the science part of how we do things. But I believe that even in our intentionality, there's art to it. You know, an artist is creative and expresses themselves in the way that they see. And I think as we get to know our children, the things they like, the things that interest them, the personality that God has given them, I think that's where we begin to learn and be more on the side of art. And if I could give one example, I remember my son was about 15 or 16 and they were having a school soccer match. And I attended almost every single event that my son participated in. And that day I thought to myself, you know what, he's becoming a man. And maybe I'm overcrowding him and always being there. So I asked him the question. I said, Caleb, you know, would you prefer today that I don't come to the game? I know you're becoming a man, son, and maybe you just want to play the game, be there with your friends, and I might be too overbearing by being present all the time. And his response to me that day was, Dad, I love it when you are present at my games. So that day I asked the question because I thought I might be overdoing it, but I allowed him to determine how I should move forward at that point. And so I think being fluid in the relationship, and there's times you've got to pull back, there's times you've got to push forward, but just being there. Don't get so hard that it has to be 1, 2, 3. And if it's not 1, 2, 3, then it's not going to work. You know, sometimes you've got to take 2 steps forward, 1 step back. Sometimes you've got to take a step left. Sometimes you've got to take the step right. And I think that's why I say parenting is the toughest job in the world, in that no children are the same. Mm. So even you can read all the books, but no children are the same. There's so many variables in the journey, but God will help us.
Craig, I love what's coming through in this interview, that when this journey gets tough, you can turn to God and He is the strong foundation of your life. Just a last question about your specific journey with fatherhood before we move on to the exciting details about the Fathers Matter film launch. But how, if you can summarize it for us, how do you think fatherhood has changed you?
Oh, that, Larise, you're always asking me such good, intentionally deep questions, but I love it. No problem for me to answer. You know what? It really did change me, because I was also somebody that was always on the go. I always had something going. I was always striving. I was also a good sportsman, but I was also very involved in ministry within the church as a youth pastor. It was always go, 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 go. And when I became a father, and as I shared earlier, possibly at the 18-month mark where I had a major wake-up call, I realized that I can't function like I did when I had no children. And I had to change and adjust my schedule. I had to adjust what I did, when I did. I had to drop some things that I was doing because it just wasn't going to work. There was going to be an imbalance within my family and how we did things. And so it literally changed my life forever. But positively, I didn't see it as a loss when I woke up. I realized that, no, this is a new season that God has me in, and I can flow and function in that and enjoy it.
Craig, tell us, what has taken place so far around the country in support of the Fathers Matter film launch?
Oh, there's been so much happening. We have had Fathers Matter launch events in every province in the country. So from the Western Cape, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, the Eastern Cape, across KZN, it has been nothing short of amazing to see what is taking place and the momentum that is building. A week ago, there was the SABC launch in Auckland Park, Johannesburg, which was the main launch and a pre-screening of one of the films. And the same also took place in Cape Town. And then yesterday, we also did a pre-screening in Durban as well of one of the films. And so it's been absolutely amazing. What is also helping to get the conversations going around the country is that one of the largest chain store restaurants have partnered with Heartlines, and on every table in every restaurant right across the country, and there are hundreds, is a poster of the Fathers Matter films on the center of the table. So people who go there every day are seeing it, be getting calls about it, people asking questions about the films. And so it's been incredible. Not to mention all the radio stations across the country are talking about it. There is incredible momentum gathering around the Fathers Matter films. Mm.
So every time when somebody goes to a Nando's, they might be going hungry, but they might get something to feed their souls as well, a link to the Fathers Matter films. That's wonderful. How can people get involved with the film launch?
Yeah. You know, Heartlines is very eager for people to see the films, but we are even more excited to see South Africans involved in the Fathers Matter movement. And so people can see the films on SABC 2 starting tomorrow, 8:30 p.m. And they can also see it on SABC's video on demand channel, which is called Telkom One. And that people can download the Telkom app for free, the Telkom One app for free. I think it takes like 30 seconds to register. and they can view the film on their phone from SABC Live when it shows, but also they can view it anytime on Telkom One once the film has been shown. We want the people watching the films, but it'd be amazing if people are watching the film together, having conversation around the films. And Artline's hope is to have 5 million men getting involved in what is the biggest campaign on the continent around fathers, watching the films and engaging in the conversations.
If a church wants to get involved, how can they go about it?
Yeah, for churches, you know what, Heartlines, its first audience is churches. We want churches mobilized. We want to help churches. And so for churches, churches can go onto our website, download a Bible discussion guide. So we have a Bible discussion guide that covers all 6 films. So you watch the film, and the films are half an hour in length. Then you can have a discussion around it. The discussion guide is done in a very simple way that you don't need to be an experienced facilitator. You open the guide, you just follow what it's saying, and you can then begin a conversation around the film and draw out the lessons that are highlighted in the film. And the discussion guide is available free of charge on our website. It also can be accessed through our Fathers Matter WhatsApp number. People can save the number on their phone, just say hi, and we'll give you an option to download the discussion guide to your phone. And in fact, you can have the discussion using your phone there. It's in PDF format, so we've made it as easy as possible for people to get talking.
You mentioned that Heartline's WhatsApp number. There's another cool function that Heartline's has built into that business account for your Heartline WhatsApp. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, that is a really nice feature. You know, Heartline's realizes that one of the gaps that came out from the research is there is a knowledge gap where fathers' lack of involvement in the lives of their children is because of the lack of knowledge and not knowing that actually they are needed to be involved. And so on the WhatsApp platform, you can access resources to help you to be positively involved in your children's lives at every life stage journey. So, for example, you go in, you say hi, you say help, and then it will give you a menu option. It'll ask, do you want help with a baby, a toddler, primary school, high school? If you go in on baby, and it'll give you another menu option and ask, oh, okay, do you need help with a baby crying? And you click there, it tells you what type of cry. Is the baby crying because it needs its nappy change? Is the baby crying because it's hungry? Is the baby crying because it's ill? And so as a father, those are things, I mean, I was clueless when I was at that stage of my life. I promise you, if I was a young father today, I definitely, that number would be checked every day. And so that you can get help, so that you don't need to feel inadequate as a father, because especially in those early years, because I used to always see those early years as the mother's years. I saw my years starting when the baby was walking and, you know, it was more toddler. But really, I saw it when they became a teenager, but it soon shifted once I got knowledge that I was needed at every single stage in my child's life.
Craig, thank you so much for your time this evening. It's been very heartwarming to hear your father journey. And it's also been exciting to hear what's coming up with the Heartline's Fathers Matter film launch. So thank you so much once again, and we're excited for the listeners also to watch those films and to start the discussion on why fathers do matter.